The Extraordinary Ordinary is brought to you in partnership with Coca-Cola Euro-Pacific Partners. Hello and welcome to The Extraordinary Ordinary, the podcast from Women of the Year, which recognises and celebrates the achievements of remarkable women you've probably never heard of, but whose passion, dedication, hard work and fierce determination have changed society, lives and the world in all kinds of inspiring ways. Our guest today is Haseena Rahman, a young woman whose unwavering determination and courage led her to embark on a transformative martial arts journey starting when she was a teenager. Her story is testament to the power of self-belief, resilience, and passion. Haseena founded Pink Diamond Martial Arts in 2015 in Luton. The idea had come to her while she was at home looking after her four-month-old baby and toddler. Being a fully certified personal trainer with expertise in three different martial arts disciplines, including karate, kickboxing, and Muay Thai, she aspired to create a business that merged her passion for martial arts, whilst also empowering women and girls to rediscover themselves physically and mentally. This led to her brainchild of establishing an exclusive women's combat club, and Pink Diamond Martial Arts opened its doors, offering instruction in Muay Thai, mixed martial arts, and self-defense. Haseena is the head instructor at Pink Diamond, where she conducts classes and manages day-to-day operations. She also runs self-defense workshops around the UK, teaching women life-saving techniques. And remarkably, she has also authored a children's book entitled Heroes, A Guide to Anti-Bullying. Haseena Rahman, welcome to The Extraordinary Ordinary.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, such a pleasure. So I think it would be great, actually, just to start off, if you can tell us, let us into your world, your teenage world, with how you were feeling and how you discovered martial arts.
I think as a teenager, I didn't have much confidence, and it was something to really help with my confidence. And there was a free flyer that came through the door that offered free karate classes. And I thought, I've got nothing to lose, might as well go and see how it's like. I took one of my friends with me, and it was just like a love at first sight. When I went there, you know, nobody cared what race or religion you were. Everybody's there to learn martial arts. And it was just an amazing atmosphere. And I kind of fell in love during the first few sessions.
That's incredible. So were you both, you and your friend, were welcomed into it almost as a family?
Yeah, definitely. And the good thing was everyone's different ages. And it was just everybody wants there to learn karate. And we just really liked it. And we carried on. I carried on learning karate for 7 years. And I got my second dan black belt in karate. So yeah, I definitely had a real passion for it.
And It did make a difference to you as a teenager, didn't it? Because you had experienced bullying. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so from the age of 11 till about 15, I would say, it was mainly racism. And I did go to a school where 98% was white. You know, I was like a brown alien in the school, and this was back in the 90s. So I was kind of like a target for bullying, and it did really knock my confidence. I really needed something to kind of find myself again. And that's where I kind of led into martial arts combat sport. And that really, really helped me to kind of rediscover myself again.
So can you tell us then how it helped you? So obviously physical exercise, giving you that confidence and also that ability to defend yourself, just that idea that you can defend yourself.
Yeah, I think it's just having that mental and physical ability as well. Because I think with martial arts, there's a lot of mental gain from it. So believe in yourself, your strength, your weaknesses as well. And that kind of really helped me with martial arts journey. So I did karate for 7 years, and then I went into different avenues with Muay Thai, kickboxing, and self-defense as well. So it kind of opened up doors to other avenues. And yeah, it was a crazy journey, but I'm still doing it.
It's fantastic. Now, tell us about you being at home with your baby and your toddler and coming up with the idea for Pink Diamond.
I think once you become a mother, your kind of perspective of life changes. And I wanted to do something that was based around the kids. And I knew when I moved to Luton, there was nothing for women. I know a lot of women want to learn martial arts, but because it's a mixed environment, they just feel uneasy or uncomfortable. And I wanted to create something where girls and women can come and just learn martial arts in a safe environment. And that's where the idea of Pink Diamond came, a safe place for women to learn martial arts self-defense.
It's so interesting because I think, you know, lots of us have been at home and have come up with an idea or something that would be good to do, but it doesn't really get beyond that idea. So how did you take the idea and turn it into this thriving business?
I think, you know, when you have your support of your husband as well, that really helps. So obviously I needed him to babysit the kids while I go and do my classes and training. And he was a really good support. And he actually came up with the name Pink Diamond. And I really like the name. It's got that girly vibe, but it's kind of rare as well. So it's a unique name. And I wanted something that would appeal to the community as well. And I started doing a few classes around Luton. And when I first started doing classes, only around 5 or 6 students turned up. So it did give me like, oh, maybe this is not what people want. You know, people were more into different kind of fitness classes. So combat sport is something very, very different. And it's quite intense. Most people think it's aggressive. So I just wanted to show them that I'm definitely not an aggressive person. And it's something so good for you mentally and physically. And definitely something that's needed for every single girl and women to learn as a self-defense thing as well.
Absolutely. And so how did it grow? How did you take those first early knocks with only a few people in the class and take it into what it is now?
You just have to keep going. I think if you believe in something and you really, really want to make a difference and you have a passion for it, you have to keep going. And there were a lot of business support. There's a lot of men-owned martial arts companies in Luton, and they gave me a lot of advice. They were like, just keep going. You know, you're going to get 4 or 5 students because people don't know what it is. Just keep going, and then people will see the benefits of it and the classes will grow. And 8 years later, I'm here and I've got over 100 students. So yeah, it's gone in the right direction.
That's amazing. It's so good. And as you say, going back to what you said about sometimes martial arts can be quite male dominated, it can be quite intimidating, especially if you're a beginner as a woman. You want to go in and it doesn't matter if you're bad. You want to be in a welcoming environment, don't you? So it's so important that you were able to create that. What has been the feedback from your students?
The first few years were a struggle just to get the community to be on my side, especially with Muslim women. They're not too sure about learning martial arts, especially with Muay Thai, MMA. When you see on TV, when you watch UFC, people are bleeding and getting hurt, and nobody wants to see their child in that kind of situation. But I try and explain to them that it's more about self-defense. And when you do get in a ring, it's a kind of a fight or flight situation where you deal with your inner confidence, you deal with your ability to be able to think on the spot. And it's a mental and physical game that I think is so important for any children to learn. And it just helps them along personal progression as well in life.
And also, I've read that you talked previously about the stereotyping that you've experienced, especially particularly when you started. So as a Muslim woman who wears a hijab, that you were told potentially that this wasn't a place for you. How did you get over that?
Do you know what? It's something that has always happened on a regular basis. I'm very lucky to be able to go to a few award ceremonies for Pink Diamond, and very, very grateful for that. But there's always some comments that come like, oh, you don't really look like a martial artist. But I'm thinking, how is a martial artist meant to look? And because I wear makeup, there was one guy who came up to me at one of the awards and he said, oh, you look like a makeup artist, but not a martial artist. And I was quite taken back by that, but because I wear makeup.
That's so rude. You can't do both.
I know.
But I mean, ridiculous.
Exactly. Like, wear makeup, do martial arts. You can do both. So yeah, these kind of comments, it is regular. I know what I'm doing and I know the reason I'm doing it. And if I didn't have a passion for it, if I didn't have a pure belief in it, it wouldn't have grown as much as it has done over the years. And I'm just going to carry on doing what I do. And sometimes the negative comments, you kind of use it as fuel and you carry on and break barriers.
And also providing something for your community. So is it mainly Muslim women in the community who come and use your classes?
Where I am based, it's more of a Muslim area, but we do have people that attend that are non-Muslims. And I want it to be not just for Muslim, I want it to be for everyone. So I'm from Dorset. So when I go to Dorset sometimes to visit my family, I hold self-defense classes there as well. And it's something that I want to kind of get around the whole of UK. I don't want it just to be in Luton. I want everyone to learn self-defense, because I think sometimes when we watch the news and we see women getting attacked, and it's very, very scary. And it's just the background that I think that every single woman should have as a basic knowledge.
Yes, because we've read so much recently about male violence towards women, haven't we? And it is really shocking. So for people listening, what would you recommend that they could do? You know, where could they find local self-defense, or what should they be doing at home just to look after themselves a bit?
I think definitely having strength, even no matter what sport you do, I think having that strength behind you is very, very good. So if you can do any resistance training, that really, really helps. If there is a martial arts class near you, I'd definitely recommend you to join. Don't care about how old you are. Any age, you can try martial arts. I think people tend to think it's something you do as a younger person, but I've got people coming into my class who are in their 50s and they're amazing. You just take it in your own pace. Everyone has their own journey. It's definitely good for your mental health, good for self-defense, good for everything, to be honest.
I know, you're making me want to sign up now. It sounds great. And can you just tell us a little bit about that community that you fostered at Pink Diamond?
I wanted to create a sisterhood. I wanted to create somewhere where, even within our community, we've got people from Pakistan, from Bangladesh, from Somalia. And what we don't do is integrate. And I really want everyone from different race, different religions to integrate through martial arts. That's how I learned martial arts. When I stepped into my first karate, nobody saw my skin color. Everyone saw me as a human being coming to learn karate. And that's what I wanted to create, somewhere where anybody can come and just learn martial arts and have that kindness with it as well. Like, kindness is one of my main things in my class, to spread kindness and learn martial arts, obviously, though.
Sounds amazing. Do you still, when you were setting up the business or expanding the business, do you still encounter racism?
I think racism is something, especially if you're a visible Muslim woman, you are going to get racist comments. It's just part of life, I think. But you just have to have that confidence. I think it's that inner confidence as well. Like, we're all different. We're all unique. And I think the world would be a much better place if we all kind of accepted each other and just did what we did and just carry on, basically, and don't let it get to you.
And I suppose it links on to that, which is your children's book, the anti-bullying children's book that you've written, which is incredible. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I was getting comments on Instagram and people offering to pay for my ticket to go to different areas like Sierra Leone and Dubai. And it was just crazy because they wanted me to go over to teach self-defense to girls. Obviously, I'm a mum, my kids are at school, I'm a wife, so it's not easy for me to travel and just leave everything. So I thought of an idea, why not write a book? And as a child, I had a lot of my poems published. It was a way of me expressing myself. I used to write a lot of poetry. So I thought, why not write a book in a rhyming way for younger children so they can understand that what the first signs of bullying are, how to have confidence in yourself. You may wear glasses, you may be shorter, you may be taller, you may have a different skin color, but we are all unique and different and we have a lot to offer. And that's why I wanted to put in a book. But the main thing I wanted to target was very young kids, because I think bullying and not liking yourself starts from a very young age. And we need to instill that confidence from the age of, say, 6 and 7. So that was my main target, to get to kids at that age.
Asida, you're amazing. I'm just listening to you, thinking all you do for your community, traveling around doing the self-defense and the book.
You.
No, it really is incredible. Where do you get your motivation from to do that?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. You know, I think it's just making the world a better place, I think. And I want my kids to have a better understanding of how you can do anything you want as long as you put your focus on it, follow your passions, and just understand that everybody is different, but we can all live together in peace.
Oh, well, amen to that. And you said also about that you've got these different roles. So you're obviously a mum, you're a wife, you're a business owner. How do you manage those different balls that you're all juggling?
I get that question asked a lot, but do you know what? I don't know. I think I prefer my life to be hectic. Sometimes I get ideas at 2 a.m. in the morning and I wake my husband up. I'm like, this is the idea I have. He's like, you know, he thinks I'm crazy. It's just, I think I have a big passion, maybe like an obsession over martial arts and trying to tell people how important it is to be physically fit, to be mentally fit. And I think in this kind of social media age, having that mental health balance is so, so important. And because martial arts has helped me so much to become who I am today, I just want to be able to help others along the way.
And do you see that in young girls who come to your classes? Can you see the change in them?
I was telling my girls the other day, because some of them started when they were 9 years old and now they've just done their GCSEs. And it's just amazing to see how they've grown as young women and the confidence they have as well. One of the girls that came in, she was a bully at school. So it was a different kind of side for me. Her mum wanted to start her to start martial arts to control her anger. So she started coming to my class. She wouldn't join in. She wouldn't partner up with anyone. She was very moody, but I had to partner up with her. I kind of held the pads for her and I didn't single her out. I just let her do it in her own pace. And I told her, look, you come to martial arts, you have to partner with other people. And then slowly, slowly, she understood and she was joining in. 6 years down the line, she's a complete different person. Very friendly, always smiling. And this is why I do what I do and I have a passion for it, because I saw the change in this girl and I want this for as many girls as I can.
It's incredible. And also, it didn't pass me by that you called them my girls.
Gosh, yeah, I always say that.
Love that.
My diamonds.
Yeah. Your diamonds, because also they're rare and unique, but also strong.
Yeah.
That idea of family is so important in the community, isn't it?
Definitely.
So now tell us about your future plans for Pink Diamond. So you've been on this extraordinary journey, something that you you know, came up with when you're on maternity leave when you're home, and now you're taking it across the country. Where would you like to see Pink Diamond Martial Arts go?
I would like to build an empire, Pink Diamond Empire.
Good for you.
Yeah. And I want to try and do different things with Pink Diamond. I think we created such a beautiful sisterhood. I want to be able to offer other things as well within the club. And more like an academy, actually, to be able to support them in different ways. I think a lot of girls struggle with mental health, depression from a very young age. And from martial arts, you can go into different routes and hopefully we can grow and expand. That's the main dream.
It sounds really important. You talk about social media and the impact that that has on young girls with depression and particularly body image. So if they're in this nurturing space, which is, you know, helping them physically and mentally, it must have such a positive impact on them.
Yeah, I hope so. Even with myself, sometimes when I put a picture up, I want to put a filter because I don't look good. It's just how the world is now. You don't want to look unperfect, but sometimes you have to accept the flaws to be able to become who you truly are. And I think that's so important. And when they look at me, I want them to see that, you know, she looks like a normal girl, but she's doing all this. I can do it too.
Yeah. And do you look back at what you've achieved and think, how did I do that?
Prayers for my mum and dad. The unconfident, the quiet girl that I was when I was 11, 12 years old, I would never have imagined where I am today. So yeah, definitely.
It is just incredible what you do for the local community. And have you been recognised by your community, Hasina, for what you do?
I think I've been very, very lucky and I'm just very grateful for every opportunity I've had. At the moment, from I think it was after COVID, from that year to 2023, 12 awards. So it's been super, super amazing journey. And the best thing was I was on the cover girl for Red Magazine. That's my biggest achievement. I can say that I've been a cover girl. So yeah, my mum was very proud. So she was showing the magazine to everyone. So yeah, I'm very, very happy.
That's fantastic. And then, of course, then the impact that that has on your girls, but the community as a whole, to see that actually this is someone who was bullied as a young teenager. As you say, you felt invisible, quiet, and what you've achieved is so inspiring, I think, to the girls that you must work with. It's really incredible.
Oh, thank you so much.
No, such a pleasure. And so do they come to you as well, maybe personally, and ask for your advice?
I mean, the mums do. The mum's like, oh, she's so moody at home. She's the moody teenager. She doesn't talk to me. And then apparently the mum wanted to send me some food. And one of the girls said, she's not going to eat your food. And it's like, you know, they see me as someone that they really look up to. And I really, really appreciate that. I wish I had someone that looked like me when I was growing up. And there wasn't many people like me. And I want to be able to be that role model for the young girls and come and tell me anything they have, like any problems, and help them along their journey. Definitely.
And you were recently at the Women of the Year lunch, the award ceremony in London. Tell us a little bit about what that was like to be in the room with all those incredible women.
It was just amazing. I mean, the atmosphere. I was very nervous. I was very, very nervous because I'm an introvert. And when you're thrown into the deep end and you just have to mingle, it's like, oh, gosh. Everyone was really nice. I mean, I was sat next to the 4-time Olympic champion,
Catherine Granger. Yeah, the rowing champion.
And literally the whole 2 hours, we just chatted the whole way through. And then she told me she did karate, and then we were like, oh wow.
No.
Yeah, she did karate as a child.
I mean, it's just, that's just again speaks to what we've been talking about this whole interview, which is really about the importance of community, of supporting one another, and of providing role models, of someone to look up to, someone who looks like you, who can help you along your way.
Yeah, because we all need someone that we can look up to. It really does help because it just gives you that confidence as well.
Absolutely. Now, I've got four quick fire questions that we ask all our guests. And the first one is, who is or are the woman or women who have inspired you?
I would have to say my mum is a very big inspiration. She got married very, very young. She had 6 kids, and obviously my dad was working, but she literally raised the kids. And she's a very strong woman. She's, 75 now. And I just look up to her thinking, you've done amazing.
And then what is the one piece of advice you would give your younger self?
To think that you are enough. I think if somebody came up to me and said when I was 11, 12 years old that you are enough, it would have given me more confidence. Sometimes we think we're not doing enough or we don't look enough, but you are enough. And just keep doing what you're doing and believe in yourself.
Now, what's the one thing you can't live without?
Coffee.
Yes.
Coffee every morning. I have my own coffee machine.
Are you a coffee snob?
Yes. Oh my gosh. The one that grinds the beans and everything.
And finally, what one thing about you would surprise people?
I think when I say I'm a poet, because obviously I've been writing since I was 15, and it's something that I'm really passionate about. So when you say you do combat sport and you fight, and then you say you're a poet, it's two different sides. So yeah, that, I think that kind of surprises people a bit.
Well, it's almost what going back to what we spoke about at the beginning, which is people being surprised that you can be a martial arts expert and also wear makeup, and that those things
which
aren't
is so weird.
Ridiculous. Exactly. You can be a martial arts makeup wearing expert who makes excellent coffee and be a poet.
Exactly. You can do it all.
You can. And you certainly do, Hasina. You really do. You are, you know, what you do for your local community is incredible. And for the wider community, you really are an inspiration. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. You've been an absolute pleasure to speak to.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you want to find out more about Hasina's company, visit Instagram and go to @pinkdiamondmartialarts. And we'll also link the website and other details in the show notes. If you have enjoyed this podcast, please rate and review, as it helps people to find us. To find out more about Women of the Year, go to womenoftheyear.co.uk. This episode was presented by me, Jo Baring, and produced by Claire Lynch. The Extraordinary Ordinary is brought to you in partnership with Coca-Cola Euro-Pacific Partners. They're one of the leading consumer goods companies in the world, making, moving, and selling some of the world's most loved brands. CCEP make, employ, manufacture, and distribute locally, maintaining a strong commitment to their communities. CCEP's success depends on their people. They want CCEP to be a great place to work, where people can grow, be happy, and be well in a safe, open, diverse, and inclusive workplace.